forest, and became an ascetic and yogi for 6 years, fighting against his body, fasting, staying out in the cold and the heat, trying to destroy all desires and entanglements. But he only found, after 6 years of struggle, that things became worse. Finally, sitting quietly one day, exhausted, he came to the realization that it was necessary to travel the middle path, neither the path of indulgence on one hand, nor the path of asceticism and self-mortification on the other. And as he later asked his student, Sona, "When you tune a lute, Sona, do you tighten the strings too tight, or do you leave them too loose?" "No, sir, you tune them just in the middle." "In this way," said the Buddha to Sona, "you must lead a wise life, neither too loose nor too tight, and then you can come to the liberation of the middle path." As the story goes on, after realizing the middle way, the Buddha sat under a tree, the tree of enlightenment in India called the Bodhi tree. As he sat, he resolved to awaken his heart. First, he was attacked by the armies of Mara, the forces of fear, doubt, aggression, and confusion that come to any who sit in meditation and would try to quiet their mind and open their heart. By this time, the Buddha had become wise, and he touched all the thoughts and energies of fear and confusion, all the swords and arrows and spears of Mara, with a tender heart of compassion, and each arrow and spear turned into flower petals and fell at his feet. His mind became utterly serene and at peace. And when the morning star arose, he exclaimed, "Freed am I at last." He had discovered nirvana, the freedom of the heart beyond all the changing conditions of the world. Then he looked about the world from the joyful state that he had discovered and saw human beings everywhere wanting to be happy, yet often doing the very things that cause them unhappiness. Tears of compassion rolled down his cheeks, and he got up from his seat under the Bodhi tree and began to travel across India for 45 years, teaching the Dharma, the truth, the way to the joy and liberation that he had discovered in the heart. These teachings then spread throughout Asia and changed forms into Zen and Vajrayana and Tibetan Buddhism that we will describe later. Even today, it is possible to encounter these teachings, as I did in the 1960s and 70s in Thailand and Burma and India as a monk. I was taken like a prince to the edge of the forest on the back of an elephant and led off at the gate of the monastery, where the elders led me into a deep grove, shaved my head, and offered me the robes of a monk. I was given a bowl to go out every morning to collect alms food, and I was taught to sit and walk with care and attention and mindfulness in every step and every breath. I was taught the practices of compassion for all beings so that I would avoid stepping on ants and brushing mosquitoes away and bow to every being who entered the monastery, human and animal, with the same spirit of love and compassion as the Buddha. I was taught to sit in the charnel grounds during funeral times in the forest and to contemplate my own death and try to discover in meditation that liberation beyond birth and death offered by the Buddha himself. But these teachings do not require us to go to faraway Asia. They are accessible and available to anyone who wishes to understand them. The first of the Buddha's teachings, which he offered as he wandered about India, are called the Great Teachings of the Four Noble Truths, the Lion's Roar. The first noble truth, the Buddha called the truth of dukkha, or unsatisfactoriness and suffering. He said, "Yes, there is beauty and pleasure in this life for all of us as human beings. Yet who among us